Perek Vav opens up. Balayla Hu Nadadosh Nas HaMelech. Now, there's a minig to read this pasuk with the nigun of Rosh Hashanah. Balayla Hu Nadadosh Nas HaMelech. That's the nigun of Rosh Hashanah that we usually daven, referring to the fact that this is the beginning of the Nes. This is the beginning of the Yeshua, the salvation to the Jewish people. Now, even if your minhag is not to read it in the trup of Rosh Hashanah, we still read it out loud, because this is the beginning of the Nes. Now, what happened exactly? Achashverosh, first of all, to note, as we mentioned before, when it's anytime it says HaMelech without referring to Achashverosh, it's referring to Hashem. If it says only HaMelech, it's referring to Hashem. That's telling us that the sleep of Hashem, of Malkus Shel Olam, the Melech, the King of the World, the sleep of Hashem was unsettled. The Jews apparently did a very effective tshuva. They fasted for 3 days. Esther herself fasted for 3 days. They were davening, they were crying, they regretted everything they've done wrong until now. And apparently their tshuva reached all the way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now beginning to annul the gzerah, the decree against the Jews. So, on that level, the sleep of Hashem is disturbed, because he's awakened to the tshuva of the Jewish people. Now, on the simple pshat, it's referring to Achashverosh. Achashverosh tried to sleep that night. And he has this really disturbing nightmare. In his nightmare, he dreams that someone is trying to kill him. Someone is chasing after him and trying to kill him. So he wakes up, frightened and shaking with a cold sweat. And he cannot shake the feeling that someone is trying to kill him. His emotional state is disturbed, and he cannot shake that feeling. So he's going through the events of the day, trying to figure out what happened exactly? Who's trying to kill him? Why they're trying to kill him? And he's remembering that Esther came over to him that day, risking her life. Remember, she was not invited to the king, and she could have easily been killed on the spot if Ahasuerus did not put down the golden scepter. So she's risking her life to come to the king. And who does she invite to this personal party? She invites Ahasuerus and Haman. And why is she inviting Haman? Why is she risking her life to invite Haman to this party? Maybe, Haman and Esther are having an affair. And they're trying to kill Achashverosh. That's what's going on over here. So Achashverosh is very, very disturbed. What's going on over here? If they're having an affair and trying to kill me, why aren't any of my friends, the people that are loyal to me, why aren't they coming forth with information and telling me that there's a plot to kill against my life? So he calls his servants. He tells them, immediately, bring the chronicles. I want to go through the chronicles and see if there was anyone who had done a favor to me in the past and it was not paid yet. So he calls for Shimshi, who was the son of Haman. He was the chronicle of the king. And he asks him to bring the chronicles. The pasuk continues, "Vayomer l'Havi Sefer Zichronos." He calls to bring the chronicles, Divrei Hayomim, v'yu nikroim lifnei HaMelech. He wants them to be written in front of the king. Pasuk Beis continues, "Vayimotzei Kosev." It was found written. What does that mean? It was found written. So the Targum Sheni explains that Shimshi, who was the chronicle of the king, was the one who wrote down at the time the whole episode with Mordechai saving the life of Achashverosh from his two guards, Vixen and Vesarash, who were trying to kill him. So Shimshi himself wrote it down, but right after he wrote it down, he erased it on the spot, because he was an anti-Semite. He did not want Mordechai to be remembered for the good in the Chronicles, so he erased it. But the Malach Gavriel came and rewrote it in the Chronicles. So right now, it says, Vaymatzakos, it was found written. Shimshi could not believe his eyes. He found the same thing that he erased, he finds now written in the Chronicles. And he cannot believe it. Vaymatzakos, Vasher Higin Mardachai, El Bixon of Aserish, Shnei Sarisi HaMelech Mishormi Asaf, Vasher Bixol Yishleich Yad B'Melech HaChashverosh. It was found written what Mardachai saved HaChashverosh from the two guards, Bigthan and Vesarish were plotting to kill the king. Pasuk Gimel continues, Vayomer HaMelech, Ma Nase Yikar Ugdula LaMordechai Alze? What return did Mordechai get for saving my life? Vayomer Na'ari HaMelech, Masharasav, Leinase Imu Dabar. Now remember, Shimshi is sitting there quaking in his boots. He does not know what to do. So the Na'ari HaMelech, the servants of the king, the butlers, they pipe up and they say, oh, nothing was done to him. There was nothing was done to him in return for saving your life. Now remember, this is all happening in the middle of the night. Achashverosh is woken from a nightmare in the middle of the night, and he's trying to figure out what's going on, or who is trying to plot and kill his life. Pasuk Dalet continues, Vayomer Amelech, Mi v'chatzer? Who is standing over there outside in the hallway? V'homer b'lachatzer, Beis Amelech Achitzayna, Leomar, L'melech litlis is Mordechai al eret asher echin lay. Haman is now coming to the king to tell the king to kill Mordechai on the tree that he prepared special to kill Mordechai. Remember, this is in the middle of the night. So Achashverosh calls in Haman. Pasuk Hay continues, V'emer Nari HaMelech Elov, Hinei Haman Oymed B'chatzer, V'emer HaMelech Yavoy. Now Nari HaMelech, they know that this is not particularly a good time for Haman to come to the king. But they don't care. They don't care too much for Haman, because Haman was not on their side. So they tell him, oh, Haman is standing out there. He's coming over here they know that Haman is coming to the king. So they say, oh, Haman is coming to the king. They're telling Achashverosh. And the Melech says, okay, tell Haman to come in. Achashverosh turns to Haman and tells him, tell me, what do you think we should do to the person that I want to give honor to? What does Haman reply? Now this is the point where we realize that the Megillah is written Beruach HaKodesh. It was written with divine providence, with divine wisdom. Because how do we know that what Haman is thinking in his heart? And yet the Megillah is telling us exactly what's going through Haman's head. That's indicating that the Megillah was written Beruach HaKodesh. It was written with divine wisdom. So Haman is thinking, obviously, the king loves me. I'm second to the king. And if he wants to honor someone, it must be me. Pasuk Zayin. The man that you want to honor, this is what you should do. Pasuk Ches, Yaviu Levush Malchus, Asher Lavash Bei HaMelech. You shall bring the clothes that the Melech was anointed in. Vesus Asher Rochav Alam HaMelech, a horse which the Melech rode on. Vashanitan Keser Malchus Beroishai. And a crown that was worn by the king. Now it's very interesting. Notice the difference between this pasuk ches and pasuk tes. What does it say in pasuk tes? Benasan alavush v'asus ayad ish misari hamelech. Over here, all of a sudden, Haman forgot to mention the crown. He mentions the horse. He mentions the clothes, but he does not mention the crown. What happened? When Haman mentioned the crown the first time, he realized that Achashverosh's face fell. Because that's when everything made sense to Achashverosh. Obviously, Haman wants to wear my clothes, he wants to ride my horse, and he wants to wear my crown. Clearly, he's plotting to kill me, and he wants to take over and be king, and he wants to marry Esther. And when Haman realized that when he mentioned the crown, Achashverosh's face fell, that's why the second time he does not mention the crown. Because he knows, big trouble. Not a good idea. So he says, bring the horse and the clothes. Ayad ish misari ha-melech ha-parsemim. Bilbishu ha-ish asher ha-melech ha-chafet bi-korei. V'yirkivu al-asis b'rchav ha-ish v'korei lefonov. Kacha yos alish asher melech chafetz bikaray. And you should bring the clothes and the horse, give it to the high minister of the king, who will ride this man around the streets of Shushan and cry out, this is the honor that will be done to the man that the king wants to honor. Pasuk Yud, Vayomer HaMelech LeHaman, Maher. Haman, the Achashverosh now turns to Haman and tells him, go ahead quickly. Take the horse and the clothes. And go ahead and take the clothes and the source and the horse that you mentioned, and do this to Mordechai HaYehudi, the Jew Mordechai who sits b'shar HaMelech. The Targum Sheni tells us that when Haman realized what Achashverosh wants him to do, he literally begins to panic. His knees start to knock against each other. His whole body starts to tremble, and he's stuttering. He can't think straight. He can't address the king in a clear sentence. And he starts saying, "But king, there's many Mordechais in the kingdom." So Achashverosh says, "Mordechai HaYehudi, the Jew Mordechai." And he said, Samar Haman says, there are many Mordechai Yehudis. Which one are you referring to? And he says, Mordechai Yehudi Ayesha Bashar HaMelech, the one who's sitting in the gate of the king. And at this point, Haman says, okay, Achashverosh, listen, I'll do anything, whatever it takes, but do not make me give this honor to Mordechai Yehudi. I'm willing, the 10,000 talents of silver that I promised you, I'm willing to give it to you. Take it, put it in your treasure houses, and do not give this honor to Mordechai Yehudi. At which point Achashverosh says, I will take those 10,000 talents of silver, and he will still give the honor to Mordechai Yehudi. Someone says, you know what? All my children will be slaves to you, but do not give this honor to Mordechai Yehudi. At which point Achashverosh says, all your children will be slaves to me, and he will still give this honor to Mordechai Yehudi. And then Haman continues. He says, you know what? Kill me. Kill me and do not give this honor to Mordechai Yehudi. And Achashverosh says, I will kill you. And you will still give this honor to Mordechai Yehudi. And last but not least, Haman realizes that's it. He says, you know what? He's giving up his most prized possession. And he's saying, you know what? The decree that we decreed against the Jews to kill them all, you can annul that decree and do not give this honor to Mordechai Yehudi. And Achashverosh says, "Al tapo dover mikol shor dibarta. You will fulfill everything you said. I'm going to take those 10,000 talents of silver, take your children as slaves, kill you, and I will annul the decree against the Jews, and you will still give that honor to Mordechai Yehudi." Now, 2 points. First of all, Haman was a very big anti-Semite, but he's giving up the things in his life in the level of importance. Obviously, money, he's very big into money, so he's willing to give up the money. His children, which he loves, he's willing to give up his children, right? And then he's willing to give up his life. But the most important thing to him, even more than his life, is to kill the Jews. I'd rather die, but let the Jews be killed. That's what an anti-Semite really is. He's willing to give up everything. His most prized possession is killing the Jews. That's the most important thing to him in his life, even more than his own life. One more point. Haman, I don't understand. Let me ask you a question. You're living a very comfortable life. You've got honor, fame. You're second to the king. Everyone bows down to you. You've got plenty of money. You've got a beautiful family. Okay, so you have to take on Mordechai and ride him in the streets. Okay, it's not so comfortable. It's not so fun. But do it. It'll be a few minutes, an hour, 2 hours, how long will it take? Then go back to your comfortable life. Why don't you do that? Is it so hard you have to give up everything? Because you don't want to give him this honor? It's so much to ask for? This gives us an amazing illustration into human nature. Once a person is into honor, he's into kavod, he's so sucked into it, the thought of giving someone else honor, especially your arch enemy, like Mordechai, and a person that he hates, like the Jews, the thought of giving someone else honor is so disturbing that he's willing to give up everything before he gives that person honor. It just shows us how low a person can sink once he is, once he has such bad midos, he has such bad personality traits as being sucked and controlled by honor. That was his whole life. If he didn't have honor, he had nothing to live for.
They don't use the crown.
Because he realized that Ahasuerus is not too happy about that. But he gives him everything else. He gives him all the honor. Pasuk Aleph, Veikach Haman es halavush ves hasus, Vayalbash es Mordechai. He brings the clothes and the horse, and he wants to dress Mordechai. He rides him out in front of the main street in Shushan, and he cries out, "This is the honor that will be done to the king, that will be done to the person the king wants to honor." Now the Targum Sheni tells us exactly what was happening over here. This episode happened in the middle of the night. Let's say 2 o'clock in the morning. The next morning, Haman comes to Mordechai, who was sitting and learning Hilchos Kemitza. Hilchos Kemitza is the rules, the laws that a person does, a priest does when he brings a korban, when he brings a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. The way he takes the 2-3 fingers and takes that amount of flour for the korban, for the sacrifice. So Mordechai was sitting there illustrating to the people that were learning with him exactly how it's done. And Haman is standing there on the side waiting for Mordechai to finish. And when Mordechai sees Haman, he knows that this is big trouble. Obviously, if Haman is coming to him, this is not good news. So he tells the Chachamim, he tells the people that are learning with him, run for your lives, run away, because who knows what Haman wants to do now. So they all run, and Mordechai begins to daven. He davens to Hashem because he knows this might be the end of his life. And when he begins, when he finishes his lengthy davening, he sits back down. And Haman goes over to him and asks him, "What were you learning over there with the fingers?" So Mordechai tells him, "It's a law that has to do with a korban, with a sacrifice that we bring to the Beis HaMikdash." And Haman tells him, "Well, that law, that rule that you were learning, just saved your life. Because now I have to go ahead and give you clothes of the king and a horse of the king and ride you in the middle of the city." Now Mordechai realized at this point that there's a decree from the king that Haman has to honor him. So let's see how crafty Mordechai was by making it difficult for Haman. What does he say? He tells Haman, "Listen, you know, I'd love to get honored, but I'm sorry, it can't be done." Haman says, "Well, what do you mean it can't be done?" So Mordechai says, "Well, listen, you know, I'm going to be wearing the clothes of the king. I haven't taken a shower for a while, so it's not really honor for me to wear the clothes of the king when I didn't shower." Someone says, "Okay, so go take a shower." So Mordechai says, "Well, I can't just take a shower. I have to go to a bathhouse." So Haman sends out to his people to go look for a bathhouse. Now, it's not clear exactly at one point, but at some point, Mordechai sends a message to Esther telling her exactly what's going on, that there's a decree from the king that Haman has to honor Mordechai. So Esther sends out a message, a queen's decree, that all the bathhouses in the city must be closed. So immediately all the bathhouses are closed, and they go around looking for a different bathhouse, and they can't find any. Everything's closed. So Mordechai turns to Haman and says, "Listen, you know, as I mentioned to you before, you know, we can't do it, so maybe, you know, maybe a different day, you know, we'll figure something out." Because he knows that Haman has to do it to him, so he's trying to make it difficult. So Haman says, "Okay, you know what, come, I'll wash you." So Haman's sitting there with the bath and the brush, and he's washing, literally washing Mordechai. And he's moaning and groaning, and Mordechai turns to Haman and says, "You Rasha, you were supposed to be my slave. Remember, you signed the contract that you were going to be my slave? You were supposed to be my slave. What are you moaning about?" And when they finally finish the bath, Mordechai says, "Okay, you know, still, I haven't taken a haircut for a while. you know, it's not really honor for me to wear the king's clothes. So Haman says, okay, so go take a haircut. And Haman says, so again, all the Esther closed all the haircuts in the haircuttery in the city. And Mordechai tells someone, listen, you know, I can't be done. Maybe we'll do it a different day. And Haman says, okay, you know what? I'll give you a haircut. And he's sitting there giving a haircut, and he's moaning and groaning. And Mordechai tells him, you Russia, you are a barber for 22 years in Kfar Saba. What are you moaning about? And finally, Haman finishes bathing and clothing and giving Mordechai a haircut. He puts him on the horse. And Mordechai says, you know, the horse is really tall. I can't really reach up. It's a bit difficult for me. I'm an old man. So Haman has to bend down on his hands and knees. And Mordechai steps on Haman on his back, climbing onto the horse. He's humiliating Haman in public, showing him what a Russia deserves. Now, we think of this parade as, you know, like Haman was taking Mordechai and the horse, a few people standing around. The Targum Sheni is very clear that this was a major parade. There were 75,000 appointees of the king, holding a gold goblet in one hand and a shofar in the other hand, and they're all marching down this main street in Shushan, crying out loud, "This is the honor that will be done to the king, to the person that the king wants his honor." So they're marching down the streets. Pasuk and Beis continues.
Is this still nighttime?
No, this is in the morning.
No, yeah. Said in the morning.
All right.
Yeah, it happened originally in the nighttime, but he came over to Mordechai the next morning. Pasuk and Beis. Vayoshev Mordechai al Shar Melech. V'Haman Nitchef al Beisli Ovel V'Chafui Roish. Now Mordechai does not know yet that the decree against the Jews is annulled. So when he finishes the parade, he doesn't go to party. He goes back to his sack and to mourning because he doesn't know that the decree is annulled. So he takes off the clothes of the king and he's wearing his sack again, continuing to do tshuva. Meanwhile, Haman is brought to is going to his house. Ovel v'chafereish. There's a famous medrash that tells us exactly why is he an ovel and why is he so depressed. At some point during this parade, they reach the house of Haman, and the daughter of Haman, seeing that there's an honorable man on the horse and this guy is leading the horse, she figures it must be that the honorable man sitting on the horse is Haman, and the guy leading the horse must be Mordechai. So she takes the pot. They used to use a pot for, you know, you don't want to go and they didn't have the bathroom in the house.
Pot.
Yeah, chamber pot. They didn't want to go out of the house in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, so they had a special pot assigned for that, and she takes that pot and pours it on the head of Haman, which she thought is Mordechai. And when Haman looks up, she realizes it was her father. She's so surprised that she jumps down from the porch. She commits suicide. And that's why at this point Haman is an ovel. He's an availist for his daughter. So he comes back to his house. Pasuk Gimel, Vayistaper Haman LaZeresh Ishta. He tells Zeresh, his wife, L'chol Ayav, of all the people who love him, it's called Sharkaru, everything that happened to him. Vayemer L'chachamav V'Zeresh Ishta, the Chachamim, and his wife tell him, Im Yizara Yehudi Mordechai, if he's from Jewish stock, Asher Chilois and Linpo Lefanov, Leituchal Like Kinafal Tipo Lefanov. If you started falling to Mordechai, then that's it. You have no chance. You're going to end up falling completely. Now, what's going on over here? Weren't they paying attention to the story? They know exactly what happened. You know, he's got a tree set for Mordechai. He's going to kill him. So what's the big deal? So he had to give him honor. Well, why does that change everything? Why all of a sudden is everything different? Oh, you know, if now you started falling to him, then that's it. You have no chance. Well, why does that make any sense? So the Medrash tells us that they were actually telling him very great words of wisdom. They told him, you don't understand. If the Jews do not do Ratzon Hashem, they do not listen to Hashem, then anyone can trample on them. Anyone can do whatever they want. But if they listen to Hashem, if they listen to Ratzon Hashem, then they're untouched. No one can touch them. There's nothing you can do, nothing in your power to control or to kill the Jews. And this is an indication, once you started falling in front of them, now that you have to give honor to Mordechai, this is an indication that they are doing Ratzon Hashem, they are doing God's will, and once they're doing God's will, they're untouchable. There's nothing you can do to stop this from happening. They're untouchable and you cannot kill them. While they're talking, Haman does not have any time to get his sense together. Now, why is this so important? Because he's now going to be brought to the Mishteh with the king, with Achashverosh and Esther. And remember, the tree that he made prepared for Mordechai is still standing. If he had any sense, he would go ahead and take that tree down right away, because he knows that luck is not on his side. It's not a good time to talk about killing Mordechai. But he did not have time to do that, because right as they were talking to his wife, he was dragged to the Mishteh with Achashverosh and Esther.
And he stinks to high hell.
Yeah, exactly.
Did he have time to get to freshen up?
Didn't have a chance to take a bath.
No time for anything. He's brought to the Mishteh at this state, and as we're going to see later on, this tree that he prepared for Mordechai was used to actually kill Haman, because he didn't have time to take it down. As he's talking to his wife, the appointees of the king are coming. They bring Haman to the Mishteh that was prepared by Esther. Okay, we're gonna stop here, and we'll continue next week. Next week is already Purim.
How old is